Here's our TSN hockey insider, Pierre LeBrun. How you doing, Pierre?
All right, all right, all right.
There he is. Okay, it's a Friday afternoon. You should be. That means you don't live in either Montreal, Calgary, or Vancouver, because if you like hockey and you live in one of those towns, you're not allowed to feel good right now. It's just not,
not part
of the program.
Not the last few weeks, that's for sure. Well, no. Really, Vancouver since the beginning. But, yeah, I was actually on the treadmill last hour listening to your segment with Ray, and you guys I was going to stop you there at treadmill, but you guys didn't even hesitate. Okay.
Awesome.
We didn't believe it. We were stunned.
No, it was true. I'm flipping between you guys and the Scotties.
Okay. Shout out.
Yeah. No. Listen, you guys know I do the Habs games on TSN, and it's been an unbelievable time with this team. And it's tremendous theater. Well, listen, all the Canadian teams always give you theater, but the Habs season is unbelievable. And I think the best way I could describe them right now, in my mind, as far as I think they're going to make the playoffs, but they are not the team that we saw in the first 2 weeks. Mm-mm. And they're better than this. They're somewhere in between that. And I think it'll be good enough for fourth in the division at the end of the year. I think I'd be a little more trouble if I was Calgary right now, because the group's been together a while now, and I don't know, I think, like a lot of people, I expected them to be pretty good this year. And there are some signs there that go beyond a slump in my mind.
Yeah. And, Pierre, I don't know what you think, and Jamie's not going to agree with me. Carey Price, we can all agree that he hasn't played up to snuff.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to disagree.
But my second point of it is he is the key to the whole operation. If he could get back, and I'm not talking about MVP Vezina Carey Price, but just real good Carey Price. Mm-hmm. We saw that game in Toronto, the first game I believe it was, where big save Dave. It's amazing what the team looks like and how positive the video is when the goaltender's playing really well. It was like, wow, look how engaged Calgary is defensively. Maybe no, they're not. Maybe the goaltender is just good and making saves, and it's amazing the positivity of the clips that come out of it. But when the goaltender stinks, it's like the body language goes down. Everybody looks terrible on the video. So if Carey Price could just rein it in and be real good Carey Price, I think that's the A1 most important thing in Montreal.
No question. And with all due respect to Big Save Dave in Calgary, he's not Carey Price.
No.
He has not been the goalie that has been the goalie for this country for the past dozen years. He had Sidney Crosby at center, Carey Price in goal. Those are your Canadian stalwarts, right? You think Olympics and everything. So to see him struggle to this degree right now is difficult to watch. And it's interesting, when I talk to people from other organizations over the last 48 hours, it is amazing the respect that he has from other players and coaches and executives. They want him to snap out of this. He is beloved. No one likes watching this, right? Like, even Leaf fans, he's the one guy on the Habs that Leaf fans don't hate. You see that on Twitter. He's Carey Price. You know, he won Canada gold in Sochi. So it's difficult to watch because it's not just a slump right now. You know, I do a lot of their games, and he's had ups and downs. Noodles will tell you the last few years, but he snaps out of it. He works with goalie coach Stefan Waite. He put a 936 in the bubble last summer. He was the best goalie in the playoffs, not named Andrei Vasilevskiy. But this is not just a couple weeks here. He has struggled from the start of the year. And so they do have to figure this out. I think they will, but I can't guarantee that. I don't know enough about goaltending. That's Noodle's department. And well, if they don't figure it out, it doesn't really matter what happens with the rest of the team.
Well, and they're going to go to Jake Allen too. Like, that's a softer landing than a traditional backup. Like, we are seeing, like, that's the, when you look at it, you know, take the Flames Leaf segment here the last couple day games where Markstrom's out. You know, it wasn't a big drop off. Riddick was an all-star 18 months ago. Like, and he played like it. Like, that's what you need, is you need good goaltending on nights where maybe your team isn't going or you're not getting good looks or whatever. Like, I thought the second game between the Leafs and Calgary, that was more like both teams played pretty systematically strong. Like, I thought the Leafs played really well defensively,
too. I thought they played
too.
Well. Yeah, I thought
yeah,
they
like
played
well. So I look at it. Carey Price's game, like, has to be 100 times better. We know that. Montreal's game has to be 100 times better. But you're right. Like, oh, if you don't get goaltending, like, goaltending masks so much.
Man.
It masks so much. But if you don't have it, that's where the teams are like, man, we're in trouble. That's I looked at Edmonton at the start of the season. I'm like, yeah, you got McDavid and Draisaitl. You've got some more depth. I like Yamamoto. RNH is there. You know, you got. But who was going to stop the puck? Koskinen
right.
had a really good statistical year last year, but he played half the games. I was concerned about Mike Smith. All of a sudden, Mike Smith looks like Mike Smith of 28 years old, not 38.
And,
you know, 39. And, you know.
And I know this is recency bias, but because I watched him work their game last night, but I don't know if the Winnipeg Jets aren't playing the best hockey in the country right now.
Yeah, they're good, man.
They are.
They look great the third last night.
Wow.
I'll tell you that.
Pierre-Luc Dubois now has his legs under him after the quarantine and after pulling that, having a little injury out of the quarantine. I mean, he's not going to stay on that line. He's playing with Wheeler and Scheifele right now, like uncle. But last night, they're popping that line over the boards, and then they're coming back with Stastny, Ehlers, and Kyle Connor. I mean, they are filling the net, and they got Connor Hellebuck in goal. I question their blue line after Neil Pionk and Josh Morrissey. That's where I'd like to see Kevin Cheveleyoff if he can. Easier said than done. He's already four. If they, I mentioned them as one of my four teams that I liked for Matthias Ekholm and a piece last week in The Athletic.
Oof.
Man, if they could get Matthias Ekholm to join that blue line.
And maybe one more, Pierre. If they could get that guy and one more, I'm telling you, that team is damn dangerous. Damn dangerous.
Yeah. And they were not picked by, you know, when I polled 15 coaches and executives back in December about the Canadian division, everyone picked the Leafs, as did I. Montreal finished second in the ranking from those 15 people. Calgary was third. Edmonton was fourth. And I think Vancouver was fifth. Winnipeg was sixth in that poll. And I think people just thought that Hellebuck stole too many games last year, which is fair, right, Noodles? I mean,
yeah, but honestly, these guys don't know. Like, I've liked Winnipeg for a while. I mean, I've kind of been bullish with them just because you see the template of how teams are winning right now. It's a lot of skill up front. Makeshift defensemen. You just need defensemen that can get you the puck and manage it. And then the goaltender. So I'm like, okay, check the goaltender off and check a deep top nine. And that's really what they have, because their third line is that Appleton's a real nice player. Adam Lowry's a real traditional, like, third line center. And Andrew Kopp's a good player. So there's nine on the guys that you were talking about going over the board. So I like that. That's kind of where I've always had the Leafs and Winnipeg as far as similarly built, as far
that's
as,
true.
You know, the skill up top and the top heavy defensemen that are solid and their goaltenders are good. That's the way I look at it.
Well, it's paid off so far, you know, for sure. And Edmonton, I guess, is an outlier because they're so top heavy because those two guys are so good. But like to your earlier point, Pierre, now Mike Smith is unbeatable at this point, and everything's kind of just filtered in. Like we had Ken Holland on earlier, and he said having Klefbom out has given an opportunity to Darnell Nurse to prove that he is capable of being the man now on that team. And Tyson Barry has had a resurgence. So that's basically the template up here, is if you have a top six or top nine, you get some goaltending, and you have a couple of defensemen you can rely on, it can work for you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's going with the three guys who are or the three teams that are rocking right now, Toronto, Winnipeg, and Edmonton.
And you really can't underestimate the impact of not having Klefbom this year. Like, I mean, he is, you know, like, Leaf fans thought I would stay up at night and watch the Oilers, but he is such a workhorse. To lose your top minute eating defenseman for an entire year, my goodness, like, it's really amazing how people have stepped up in his absence. And I got to give credit to Dave Tippett. I feel like his name doesn't come up nearly enough for what he has done there. I mean, they started a little sloppy, holes in their game, and he digs in with his staff, and their structure right now is impeccable. You know, and again, that's a credit. That's a Dave Tippett hockey right there, right now happening.
Yeah, they're getting some, you know, what you're getting is you found a third line. Like Kyle Turris gets injured, and I don't want to say it's a blessing in disguise, but they put that Gaten Haas back in there, and he's been a really, you know, you've got some depth there. That third line with Jujhar Khaira, like they're generating at least some energy. And Pierre, I just, where I wanted to go was, are you getting any rumblings or any sense? It's not even coaching changes after what's happened in Montreal, but has the trade talk or trade market maybe heated up behind the scenes? Because I would think right about now, if you're going to make some moves, if you are crossing border, this 2 weeks is going to be pretty key because you're going to have to sit some guys out based on the quarantine rules.
I tell you, it's not from a lack of trying. I mentioned Jim Benning on Insider Trading last night. I haven't talked, I believe, to every team in the league in the last couple of weeks. There are other GMs that have been doing their homework as well, Brad Treliving. But it's been, I've talked to some teams in the South who've heard from those guys. Everyone's just saying there's, it's just difficult right now. You got half the league in LTIR. Like, I'm pretty sure if someone researched this for me, because of the flat cap, I think this is the most amount of teams we've had in LTIR, maybe in the cap era. So you're having to trade apples for apples to begin with. The Canadian teams are worried. Okay, let's say you're Calgary right now, and I do think that Calgary's going to try and do something before April 12th, but these are said and done. But let's say you're trying to shake up your team right now, right? And you get someone from one of the 24 U.S. teams, he's gone for 14 days. It loses its appeal when you're talking about something that might help you right now. You're not getting right now help. I mean, it's amazing that Winnipeg survived without Dubois and Laine and Roslovich all at the same time for 2 weeks, and Dubois then misses a few games after coming back. Yeah. It's really scaring, I know, some of the Canadian GMs about what to do. Now, I think that if the Leafs do go out and get a top nine forward, I predict they will do it ahead of the deadline as much as possible. Like, I don't think they're going to wait. It's Kyle Dubas' trademark anyway, even pre-pandemic. I mean, the Muzzin deal was in January, right? A couple of years ago. I mean, he likes to try and go ahead of time anyway. I think that if they can, I'm not saying they will for sure, but if they can get it done, I think the Leafs will be out of the gates before the other Canadian teams, potentially before the deadline. Otherwise, if you get to April 12th, like, why would you even trade for a guy from a U.S. team to play in your top six or your top four when he's going to show up three games for the playoffs by the time he's out of quarantine?
Well, it depends what you're giving up, though, Pierre. If you're giving up picks and prospects, why would it matter? You know,
well, because you need time to adjust, Hayes. Like,
right, but if you think you can win a cup and that guy's there and ready to go come game one, I hear what you're saying. I'm not overlooking how this is not an ideal situation, clearly. But if it is future assets and some guy's just going to show up out of the blue and help you when you really need it, I'd still be willing to do that. You know, it's not right. Ideal, but I think you have to pull the trigger. Like, if you're Toronto, you know you're going there. And you know this whole season is about what you do come playoff time. If you're trading, you know, a future pick and Nick Ritchie, or not Nick Ritchie, Rasmus Sandin, whoever it might be, then, hey, they're not playing for you anyway right now. You know,
but the integration angle is huge. Like, teams complain about, in a normal pre-pandemic world, that it's a 50-50 chance that a player after the deadline meshes. Like, throw in the quarantine. And how many practices are teams getting in the last 5 weeks here before the playoffs in May?
Right.
Like, I bet you it's three to four practices a month max.
Right. Yep. Yeah, like, that's true. That's got to be considered.
But let me throw this in here, guys. Blake Coleman got traded, and I believe it took him – I don't think he scored a goal for Tampa for like 10, 15 games. Like, maybe I'm wrong. I know, because I did one of the games where I was like, you know, this guy's had a tough time settling into Tampa's system and into kind of the integration. But come playoff time, he's a guy that they certainly needed, right, and certainly wanted.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so it's – I see where you're coming from, but I would much rather take a chance on grabbing a guy like Blake Coleman at the deadline right on that day and having him go through the quarantine process and integrating him into my team than not having that depth when it's needed.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Sure. Yeah. And
sure.
Like, if you're trading a piece that you have now that is helping you but has to go for apples to apples, that's where I might I may not be willing to go down that road, but if you're keeping your roster intact anyway, and that may not be possible based on the salary cap and all the ramifications that come with that, but if it's future assets that aren't a part of your daily routine anyway, and you feel like they can help you when you really, really need it, you know, if you're a team like the Leafs who know they're going there anyway, I'd be willing to take that gamble.
Well, and it's just, it's one of those things you don't really know until you live it. But like, I remember Antoine Vermette when he got traded to Chicago for their last cup in 15. Yeah, 15. He was healthy scratched at times in the first two rounds of the playoffs because he just didn't mesh in and Joel Quenneville didn't trust him. And then finally he scored a huge overtime goal in the conference finals and then a overtime goal in the Stanley Cup final. And it was like, yeah, I finally get it now. And you know, Quenneville trusted him. But it took like 3 months after the trade deadline.
Yeah.
That, you know, but good thing it happened, right? I mean, he scored a goal and
it paid off.
The final, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, every deal you're making is a gamble, you know, and there's going to be the large majority of teams are going to make a move where they might say, I wish I didn't pull the trigger on that because we didn't get to the end goal. But I guess it also comes down to what your realistic goals are. You know, like some teams might think and some GMs might think just winning a round or two is worth it. You know, just go for it to try to win a round or two. So it's not that you have to win a cup to justify a trade. We've seen that before. The Leafs, like when they first got in, they traded a second-round pick back-to-back years. Brian Boyle, Thomas Plekanec, they got how many games?
Nothing
13 playoff games out of them. Yeah, it did.
Right.
But it was worth it for them because they knew they weren't winning the cup, but they wanted to put themselves in a better position.
Sure.
So, you know, it also comes down to different viewpoints and different realistic goals and what you're looking to accomplish.
Yeah, and just to wrap this all up, too, I find it interesting. The Leafs are the one Canadian team so far in general that have stayed away from most of the drama that we're getting all over this division. Because, I mean, you have to include the Jets only from the fact that it was awkward when Liney was at camp and you knew that he wanted out. So you got to sort of include him in that, in the blockbuster deal. But I was talking to an executive on US team yesterday who said, man, he goes, we were just chuckling in our office the other day, or I guess virtually they were, but he goes, the Canadian division is there's something going on every day. And he said, really, even the Leafs with all the Nylander stuff, he goes, like, what is going on up there? And people, I think, are enjoying the spectacle of it. Because it's just the attention.
Seems like
that
you
all
are
this
too,
drama,
Pierre.
I know. It's there's something going on in every Canadian market every day with this division right now. And it's shining the kind of spotlight on days that.
Yeah, it's called Canada, Pierre. It's called Canada. It's hockey coverage. People love it. They eat it up. They're pissed off if they lose. It's called Canada, passionate hockey fans. Merci beaucoup, Pierre Lebrun.
La première étoile! Give me the cup.
What about this one? You got to say first star. You love saying Jonathan Drouin, so I want to hear
Jonathan Drouin. It's one of those things that I struggle with when I'm on TSN in English, but I know how to say the guy's name in French his proper way. I mean, I'm known as Pierre Lebrun to you guys, but really my name is Pierre Lebrun.
Right.
Give me the first star of the game. Pierre Lebrun, go ahead before you go.
Nah, I can't name myself. I was too lazy as a hockey player.
Jonathan Drouin. Then.
Johnny Drouin.
Yeah. Okay. In the première étoile, the first star, Jonathan Drouin.
Woo!
Textbook way to go into the weekend. I love it. Enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again next week. Thank you for this.
All right, boys. See you, man.
There he is, Pierre Lebrun.
You know, that's so funny. It's funny you got him to say that because that's one of my memories growing up is listening to the three stars on hockey night or whatever in Montreal. It was always Steve Schott, Reggie, Pierre LaRouche, you know, like all of these. And the guy would just go to town.
It was so great, though, when it was like a really English name. Like there is no more English name than Larry Robinson.
Or Steve Schott.
Like,
yeah. First star, Mike Keane.
You should have, it's Michelle Keane.
They Michelle said back, Gian. there's a, I don't know, we'd have to talk to the quizmaster, but apparently back in the day, Guy Lafleur put on such a clinic, he was all three stars.